Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In
hola.
Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, saobona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Shalom, shalom. What a beautiful day. I'm Beata, your host for the next couple of hours, and this is Health and Well-Being with Beata. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Woo-hoo, it's a beautiful day. We have had so much rain in Florida. And yesterday was almost like a monsoon. It was so much rain and wind and power. So it is so cool today that I don't even need my fan in here today. And the windows are open, giving me fresh air. I am in this gratitude, high gratitude vibration. So welcome. We're going to do some joint rolling. And our topic today, clutter, hoarding, and other unhealthy habits, is really based on the idea that, number one, we're in Mercury retrograde starting today. I believe it's Mercury retrograde. And what that means is that Mercury is going to slow down. Mercury slows down up there in the sky. And that means the energy shifts and changes. And if you listen to astrologers, they'll tell you that Mercury in retrograde means communication is affected in every way you could imagine. So that means we need to be clearer about what we're saying, especially our thoughts, communicate our thoughts clearly, and then expect some misunderstandings maybe in communication. And so Mercury in retrograde means we just sharpen our consciousness about the influence of the planetary system around us and numbers. So it's exciting times we're in. And clutter, hoarding, time to go. It's time, it really is time in a big way for us to declutter and think about what we're hoarding and how we can heal the hoarding. Because what I've discovered over many years, if you ever watched the hoarding show, there was used to be a show on cable TV about hoarding. And if you ever witnessed what people go through when they start getting help with their hoarding, it's like mental adjustment, psychology, therapy all in one. And in every, just about every neighborhood I've been in, there were hoarding places. In my neighborhood right now, there has been a house with all the material things out on the yard. And now recently I found out the house was sold for taxes. So they totally emptied the house. Oh my goodness. And put the rest of the stuff on the yard, and the garage is emptied. And oh, it just made me so sad to see that. So that's why we're doing some clutter hoarding and other unhealthy habits topic today, so that we can do some healing work. And I want to just say this. Every blog talk show on the Female Solution is meant to be thought-provoking. These shows are meant to help you, the listener, think about whether there's something in your life that could be improved so that you can, in this case today, live a healthier, happier, joyful life. So we're here to stimulate your mind, stimulate your thoughts, and stimulate your heart. And help you decide. Help you decide. We're not here to control you. We're not here to give you a perfect information session. We're here to stimulate your heart, mind, body, soul into raising your vibration so that you can handle what's going to happen in the next few weeks, days, whatever. Going to be a lot of stuff going on. I haven't even gotten into that, but the next few weeks, you got to prepare for it. And I'm suggesting one way to prepare is start decluttering your mind, your house, and your environment. That's one way. And then Mercury retrograde is going to put you into a place of awakening, whether you like it or not, because stuff is going to hit the fan this month. Woo! Just be ready. So let's just start out, as I say, let's fly. Let's first love ourselves, love yourself, with some joint rolling. We got some perfect music as usual. The Sounds of Blackness. I love this. I just can't find a better song. That's why I keep playing it. So we're going to just continue with our introductory time for healing. It is so time for healing. How do we know? The planets are telling us so. And then synchronicities are telling me so. Everywhere I look, I just see a need for healing, whether it's our environment, our house, our body. It is time. So we're going to start out when the music starts, we're going to start out with some neck rolls, rolling our neck around in each direction. And then we're going to roll our shoulders before we get on our back, kick our legs up, and roll our ankles and wrists. And roll our knees around, roll our lower legs so that our knees get lubricated. And then we're going to get on our side and roll that leg around so the hips get lubricated, both hips on both sides. Then we come back up and just rub on our vagus nerve. We stimulate our vagus nerve to end the session. So everybody get ready. Let's get on the floor. And let's do some neck rolling to Time for Healing. Don't forget to breathe in and out as you go.
No.
to the shoulders, squeeze, squeeze, release, release, pat down those arms, give those arms some love underneath, on top, and maybe one of the most important areas for your immune system is right here in the middle of your chest, your thymus gland. I'm going to have to do a show on the thymus gland. I'm learning so much about this gland. It's not what we think it is. It's so much more powerful. So just tap on the middle of the chest. Breathe in and out, tap, tap, tap. Breathe in and out, tap, tap, tap. Gently tap, tap, tap. And give thanks. Breathe in, a count of four. Hold to the count of four. And breathe out to the count of four. Hold to the count of four. Breathe in, 1, 2, 3, 4, hold, 1, 2, 3, 4, and out, 1, 2, 3, 4, hold at the bottom. One more time, 1, 2, 3, 4, hold it, 1, 2, 3, 4, and release, exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, and give thanks. Woo-hoo! All right, we did it. Give yourselves a hand for participating with fly. First, love yourself with lots of love movement. It's move. Eat less, move more. All right, we're going to go to the studio right now, back into the studio so we can get this party started with my dad. Sherman J. Howard is with me this morning in spirit and truth and wisdom. Let me get him in position here. There we go. Mr. Sherman Howard is with me. Welcome, everybody. I am so excited about the days ahead. The days ahead are going to challenge us in our bodies, our minds, and our soul because, number one, we're in retrograde, Mercury retrograde. And if you pay attention to astrology and the sky above us, Mercury retrograde starts, I believe it's today, and it goes all the way into October. And what that basically means, from my understanding, is Mercury slows down its movement. And that means it looks like it's going backwards from the human eye point of view, but it's really just slowing down its movement, which is going to create all kinds of communication issues with us, challenging us to be better at communication, challenging us to respond when communication is not perfect, challenging us in every way. And then there's the death of the queen. Oh my goodness. I'm not going to even say much about that. I might have to do a show on Sunday about that. But my sources have been telling me for a long time, the old lady's been dead for a while. Her soul left the body a long time ago. But Hollywood drama and politics and the way the Matrix works, they put in a double for her for the last 2 or 3, 4 years. So now, but this is a marker for us, the death of the queen. Just think about chess. My grandson loves to play chess with me now because he's better than me. He's always beating me. And I thought about the other day, or yesterday we were playing, and he got my queen out so quick, and it was like, oh, now what do I do? Now I had to move all these other pieces around quickly and sharper. We have to be sharper now. The queen's gone. Oh, what are we going to do? The queen's supposed to be able to move everywhere. But anyway, it just tells us, it was a reminder to me of the chess game, this multi-dimensional chess game that we're playing. And the queen is just one little piece in the game of life that when they announced her death, again, she's been gone a while, when they announced her death, watch things happen in the next few months, weeks and months. Things are going to move fast, I believe, because that was supposed to be a marker of sorts. So we're going to, when SHIT hits the fan, here it comes. That's what that means. Stuff's about to hit the fan. So today, we want to focus in on detoxing your home, your body, your life, and especially clutter and hoarding. As I said at the beginning of the show, there's a hoarder house in my neighborhood. I would walk by it every day, and I would just get so sad. That's how it would affect me, is sadness. Because I've watched enough shows to know. Okay, what is he trying to say? I've watched enough shows to know. No, my son's trying to call me. I watched enough shows to know that hoarding has a lot to do with attachments and mental issues. So I'm going to play a audio today that kind of introduces us to the idea that clutter, what happens, that it's caused by trauma. This woman's testimony is so powerful, and it happens too often. The abuse, the sexual abuse that goes on in our families has been going on for years and years and years. So it's just a matter of us waking up to it and healing it. But this woman's story really got my attention. And she believes, and she helps us understand that clutter and hoarding is caused by trauma. So let's start there, educating ourselves about what's at the root of the clutter.
What's up, guys? What if I tell you that a traumatic event, like a bad divorce, a car accident, may cause a clutter in your car, in your home, or in your office? Salut, I'm J.M. Tétrault. I'm a military veteran, and I've helped a lot of brothers and sisters in arms coping with their PTSD. In this video, I'd like to explain to you what is the link between the trauma and the clutter that we found with our client and our research. So there's three main points that we found. First, from the traumatic event, we've seen the stress level raise and accumulate. We know that from the traumatic event, the brain is affected, it changes, new links are created, and now the brains react to fear, which raise the level of cortisol. We know that the cycle, the normal cycle of cortisol, grows during the day, goes high, and at night it goes down, which brings our stress down. That's why normally in the morning we are more calm and peaceful. But in the case of the traumatic event, many of the time the stress doesn't go back down anymore. It stays up as it follows the cortisol level, which brings to the clutter, because the stress is so high. And to declutter, we need to calm down. We need to be peaceful. And that doesn't happen anymore. So the stuff pile up. And we start decluttering a bookshelf. And the week after, it's back. Everything goes back to the same situation. And that's because in our mind, it's cluttered. It's cluttered with fear, with different anxiety from the traumatic event. The second thing is, from the traumatic event, every void has to be avoided. A void means fear. So removing things or decluttering, it's creating a void. So many of the time, and what I've seen, when we've seen in our, what we've seen with our client, is when they start decluttering, the stress or anxiety raise because it creates a void. And the third thing, I'd like to read an interview that, or just an extract of an interview we did with Dr. Lawrence while we wrote her book. He said, "We know that PTSD can affect different parts of the brain, but what we're referring to with respect to those people who have an issue with cluttering in their environment is a problem with their frontal lobe. The frontal lobe is where your executive functioning is. Executive function as self-care, self-worth, and environment care is going down," which is what I was referring to. The brain is affected, is changed. And as the executive function are affected, the organization skill goes down, the self-care goes down, which is directly related to the clutter. It's hard to organize, so stuff piles up. And if you want to know more about that, I invite you to click on the link below, because in the book, we really go through.
So this audio has just reminded us that clutter affects our health in our brain, in our ability to function every day. And I wanted to play a different one. Yeah, this one is about a woman's testimony on seven signs that tell you have not healed. Because I have a lot of friends, I have a few friends who are in denial that they're even cluttering, have a clutter or hoarding problem. It's sad for me to see that and then realize that they don't think they have any challenge or problem. These are seven signs that you have not healed from your trauma, according to...
How to know if you have finally healed or not from trauma? Assess yourself on seven signs of trauma. Salut! I'm Valérie Huard, and I suffered from complex PTSD, or CPTSD, for more than 30 years. But I am now the hero of my journey, and I live a happy life! In this video, I will share seven signs that someone hasn't healed from trauma. But before we get into that, let me share a quick story with you. I was 11 years old when I realized that my life was not normal. It wasn't normal to have sex with a grandfather. Now that was not love. I was in shock, feeling alone and disgust with myself. I had the chance to meet the love of my life. Yes, at 16, sweet 16. And he had the patience to help me cope with my PTSD. At 25, we were having children, and I was thinking that I had healed from trauma. But I was wrong. I was pretending everything was fine. In reality, nothing was. Here are seven signs that someone has not healed from trauma. First of all, my self-esteem was so low that I was struggling to take care of myself, sometimes passing days without showering. I was feeling worthless. I was volunteering an incredible amount of hours weekly to try to make my life worth it. The second sign I haven't healed from trauma was that it was out of question to ask help. I was having trouble opening up to close friends or family. Asking for help meant that I was a failure. I was also thinking that they would perceive me as weak. The third sign that I hadn't healed from trauma was that I was struggling with historical data about my own life. It was like there were some holes in my life. I was also out of question to go into therapy and talk about my blackout. No way. The fourth sign that I hadn't healed from trauma at that time was that I was clinging to toxic people. That means I was making friends with people that were abusing my time, my generosity, or my pity. In brief, I was vulnerable to negative interpersonal relationships. Let me know if one of those signs ever happened to you. Just in the comments say, you know, I have done this, or I'm still doing that. And the fifth sign that I haven't healed from trauma when I was 25 was resisting to positive change. I was always suspicious. Whenever something good came into my life, I was automatically feeling shame and guilt. I was thinking that I was not deserving happiness. The sixth sign that I hadn't healed from trauma was I was fearing failure as much as success. It was so intense that I was completely destroying any motivation to succeed. The game was lost in advance, and at the same time, I cannot accept to lose. So I was fighting myself, and I was missing out on loads of opportunities because of this. I was completely in shaker and anxious. The seventh sign that I haven't healed from trauma was that I was hurting myself or my loved ones. I was pushing them away and isolating myself from whatever I had to deal with. I was also unintentionally hurting people around me with my work.
Okay, so that was just one testimony of a young woman who was raped or molested or abused by her grandfather, and the rest of her life she had to deal with that shame, I would say. Call it shame, abuse, many words that you could describe that. And that has happened to so many people in this country, if not the world, that relatives, older relatives, molested and harmed children. And they have had to deal with that trauma all of their adult life because of the seven signs she made. Her, the self-esteem was so low that they didn't want to get help. They didn't ask for help because they felt like a failure or the shame was too great. They didn't look for therapy because the data was confusing to them. Clinging to toxic people and situations, that's a clear sign that you haven't healed from your trauma, so we're here to help you think about maybe you need some help if you are in a toxic relationship where people are not validating you, loving you with the language you need, resisting positive change, where and fear of failure and success in your life, and then hurting yourself and your loved ones. And that's a really interesting sign that you haven't healed from your trauma, because usually that means an addiction is in place when you're hurting yourself. And you hurt your loved ones when you're lying and not being your authentic self and not being transparent. So those are just a few things to think about so we can move forward with the healing and the detoxing of clutter and all the other things that are going to interfere with your journey forward. It's going to be a rough ride, folks, going forward. So we want to be prepared by detoxing, clutter hoarding, bad food, negative food, chemicals. That's what we're here today to inspire you, motivate you to start thinking about a plan on declutter, dehoarding, detoxing today. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with your questions or comments. If you have a question or comment, please press 1 on your phone, and you feel free to comment on the Facebook page. I'm live on Facebook today, Facebook Live, Vietta, V-I-E-T-T-A, or Vietta. So join us this morning for a discussion and a testimony to help us all declutter, dehoard, and improve our health going forward. It's going to be a rough ride, I'm telling you. SHIT is about to hit the fan. The queen died. That was the sign on the chessboard that stuff's getting ready to get rough. All right, we'll be right back to help you with this journey.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Eating garbage food, cluttering up the body. We want to just give you some ideas this morning and stimulate your thought process about, first of all, are you a hoarder or a clutterer, or are you practicing these things and you're unaware of it? So we want to help you, number one, become aware of whether this is something that should be dealt with in your life, and how you might proceed in planning how to do that. I've got a great audio on the top 10 things to declutter in your life to get you started. And so we've got a caller, though. Let me go to this caller who has pressed 1-773-221. Your mic is open. Welcome to
Yes, and
well-being.
This is Viola. You know, my brother, John Duncan Nelson of 9110 South Jackson Avenue in Chicago, has been a compulsive hoarder his entire life. We lived at 2616 South Parkway, now King Drive, apartment 1010, with me, 1960s up to 1970.
Your voice is going in and out. Can you adjust your speaker? Your voice is going in and out.
Can you hear me better now?
Speak up.
Is that better?
That's better, yeah. This is Andrew Nelson. Did I hear that right?
Yes, is this better even?
Yes, it is. Go ahead. Thank you.
And John has filed a, a bogus.
Okay, now your voice is muffled. Your voice is muffled now. What did you do? Your voice is kind of muffled.
Well, you see, John is himself inexorably predisposed to bring all of this junk into the house, due to his mental condition. And it's like a permanent mental condition because on his own volition, he just does this. He's inexorably predisposed to this. He can't help himself but to just bring all this junk into the house. I suppose he's rationalizing that parts of the house are his because it's his junk that occupies the house. And the entire time that we've been living at 9110 Paxton, John has attempted to occupy me out of my own house just by bringing junk into the house. It's the most frustrating thing. And if I can be effectively evicted from my own house, where John and I are joint tenants, albeit not tenants in common, by way of Chicago Title Land Trust Agreement, then it seems to me that John can be justifiably, effectively evicted from the house due to his actual mental illness of this inexorable predisposition to just collect junk to occupy me out of my own house.
Okay, did you say John was your brother?
Yeah, my older brother.
Okay. So what would you say, Nelson, was the trauma that you and your brother may have experienced that caused your brother to hold on to or be attached to the things that he's bringing into the house? What was the trauma, would you say?
My brother John is a coward. He has no physical courage. And his whole thing is that he's hiding, and he's just kind of putting himself in all of his junk surrounding, as if to just confound any observer who be observing him. That's my sense. That's the impression that I have of how he thinks.
But Nelson, that doesn't answer the question. What was the trauma? What was the root cause of his self, his behavior today? Yeah, we're all imperfect. We all have flaws. But what do you think was, you grew up with this brother. What do you think was the trauma, the root cause of his behavior today?
The root cause of behavior, in my judgment, is a fear, a cowardice born out of just being afraid to be a victim. And it's inordinate.
Okay.
There are people who are just fearful.
Okay, let's go back to your parents. What were your parents like with you and your brother? What type of behavior was going on with your parents and your brother and you?
I saw very little of my father. I loved my father very much. His name was, and he was called the U.S. Army troubleshooter in Hampton Museum in May of 1954. And somebody excised that article out of the magazine. And that's by design, and it's intentional. And I would just say my mother, when she was 15 years old in St. Vincent, British Western, she became a school teacher. And she was a school teacher her entire life. And you know, my mother, I regard her as queen of the world. You know, I have a high regard for my own mother than I do for Queen Elizabeth. My mother had a high regard for Queen Elizabeth because she was born a British subject.
Okay, what do you think your brother experienced with your parents that caused him to be attached to things more than people and freedom from things?
There are a lot of factors that militate on John's condition. One of them is he's very covetous, envious, and jealous of me. He resents the fact that I'm my mother's favorite. And he apparently has felt that way his entire life. I didn't really realize that, but I'm beginning to realize that now, of late, when he would take things out of the house and throw them away, which I'm talking about furniture that I brought into the house. And he wouldn't want to see the furniture, and he would warn me that I better put it in the basement, otherwise it's going to be tossed out. Well,
now, would you say this behavior affected his relate? How old is your brother, may I ask?
John is 62.
Okay.
Turned 61.
Would you say this behavior has affected his relationships in life with women or men or whatever?
John married a big, fat, ugly woman named Joyce Marshall back in October of 1998 and moved in with her at 8150 South Justine. You know, I was happy that he was out of the house, but he lingered there by having all of his junk there in a way that is completely inappropriate. I mean, just the sheer magnitude of junk he brings into the house. You know, I'm a book collector. I collect tapes. And that's normal, particularly when it is kept in a proper way. But his wanton accumulation of miscellaneous junk just to occupy space in the house so he can claim that room as his own and move it over and spill it over into the other room across.
Okay.
I mean, this is his mentality. I'm sure this is his reasoning behind why he just brings all this junk into the house so he can rationalize that this is somehow his house because all of his junk is in there. It is just the most insane thing.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, Nelson, I'm going to move to another explanation of cluttering because Nelson has shared the family dynamics with him and his brother and how clutter and hoarding has become the focal attention with this relationship, which is exactly my point, how this can harm relationships, health, and all that. And we want to know the difference. Some people people are just messy, right? And we want to know the difference between being messy and hoarding. What's the difference? Because maybe it's not as bad as we think.
Hi, my name's Jen Baker, and I am a clinical social worker and a mental health therapist for CHI Health Psychiatric Associates. Hoarding disorder used to be considered a subtype of obsessive-compulsive disorder. However, in 2013, it was categorized as its own mental health diagnosis. Hoarding is characterized by two main traits. The first is a tendency to acquire and keep an excessive number of belongings that appear to have limited value or are useless to the average observer. However, to the person who's collecting those items, they actually matter very much. The second characteristic of hoarding disorder is that the objects that are collected tend to fill the home in such a way that the person collecting the items can no longer use the space for the way it was intended. So you can no longer sleep in your bed, use your bathroom to get ready in the morning or take a shower or cook meals in your kitchen. So there's a few different key aspects to how hoarding and messiness are different. With hoarding disorder, the person usually intentionally acquires things. They have a strong attachment to those items, and they care very much about what happens to those items. So if you come into somebody's home who has hoarding disorder and offer to clean it up or throw things out, it's going to cause them a lot of distress. On the other hand, somebody who's just living with a lot of clutter or who's just messy doesn't have a strong attachment to those items, and they're usually quite relieved or at least don't care very much if you offer to clean out their home. People save for the same three reasons, whether they have hoarding disorder or not. The first is that we all save because things are very useful. They have an instrumental value. I save a hammer because I occasionally need to hammer things. The second reason that we save is sentimental. So the item reminds us of a person, place, or thing that was important to us. And the third reason we save is for intrinsic value. In other words, it makes us happy or it sparks joy. People with hoarding disorder will actually save for those very same reasons. However, they have different thoughts and beliefs around those objects. So if I throw out something that it has sentimental value and I have hoarding disorder, I may fear that I'm losing that memory, that connection to that experience or that person. If I throw out something that sparks joy, I fear I might never get it back. So the first thing we want to think about is health and safety. When too much clutter fills a home, it can create a fire hazard, both because the inability to get out of a window or a door when there's a fire, and also because of the high flammability content, things start to become stored near fire sources or heat sources, radiators get blocked, things like that. There's also concern about tripping and falling, especially papers, which is one of the most commonly hoarded things, can be very slippery and create a risk for the occupants. When a home starts to fill with clutter, it also becomes really difficult to clean around that stuff. So we also become a little bit more vulnerable to the accumulation of squalor or filth or the attraction of pests, that kind of thing. The second warning sign that things are getting out of control is that it's starting to cause some type of distress in your life. Either it's causing conflicts with your family members or your friends, or it becomes really difficult to get things done, just daily routine things like getting ready for work or getting your laundry done or taking care of your family. And it can contribute to isolation and withdrawal from people that were important to you. If you think that you have a problem with hoarding, the very first thing you should do is get more information. There's a lot of great resources that are available to really help you differentiate if it is truly a problem with hoarding or if it's something else that's kind of masquerading, such as a severe depression or obsessive compulsive disorder. The second thing that I would recommend if you think you have hoarding disorder is reach out to your support system. Find somebody that you trust and have a conversation with them. Let them know that you're having difficulty. Invite them in the home and show them around. Maybe try a little bit of intentional discarding and see if it creates any anxiety for you. It's important to know that there is treatment for hoarding disorder. Therapy helps. There are self-help groups, and there are some really great books out there that can be of assistance. When families have concerns about loved ones, the very first thing that we want to do is roll up our sleeves and go and clean out the home. And that is probably the very last thing that we should do. Remember that hoarding disorder is an anxiety-based disorder. And so when somebody comes into the home and starts removing our belongings, the person with hoarding disorder is going to respond with a lot of anxiety and distress and even anger. So the best thing to do is to protect your relationship with that person. Express your concerns openly and honestly, and focus your attention on their well-being instead of on the clutter or the stuff around them.
This story has a lot of people talking. Officers say they found more than 150 cats in a woman's home in the Northland, a number of them dead, stuffed into a freezer. Here's an update. The cats will soon be available for adoption at the Kansas City Animal Shelter, and charges against the woman have been dropped, and she hopes to return home. But the big question today, will she be able to return home and adjust to her new life without all of those cats?
Yeah, obviously you think that there's probably something behind this, and Dr. Stella Fernandez joins us now. She is an expert on hoarding behaviors, and I did this story on Tuesday, Dr. Fernandez, and it just broke my heart to see all of those kitties, knowing that they were living in conditions like they were. Now, obviously you want to be angry at this woman for putting them in that situation, but there's probably something behind it.
She actually is not aware that she is actually hurting the animals. She actually believes, in many ways, she finds comfort in having the animals there, and she believes that actually having them, she's in a sense in denial.
And it helps deal with her anxiety as well if she does have some.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So when does it become a point? And I watch this show, Hoarders, a lot. I'm like addicted to that show, folks. If you haven't seen it, oh, man. When does it become a point where you've reached that level? And can, you know, family members or friends say, all right, mom, dad, loved one, you are now becoming a hoarder?
Usually when it actually impedes, okay, certain things in their life, okay, such as, you know, their job, their ability to hold the job, their ability to carry relationships with people, their ability to actually stay in a home that's healthy, okay, also.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be sanitary.
It's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Now, real quickly, Dr. Fernandez, like you said, a lot of people aren't aware that this is a problem. They are finding comfort in this. So then when you know that a loved one or a family member or a friend has this, you know, challenge, how do you address it? How do you encourage them to seek help?
Yeah. Carefully, I would say. You know, I think it's crucial to address it, but at the same time, very carefully.
Should you be blunt?
No.
Don't.
I think just carefully, just step by step. You know, baby steps until, you know, they can get to the point in which they're comfortable seeking help from, you know, a therapist.
Yeah. Is it a problem that you see often? And secondly, is it something that needs attention, that you have to get help for?
Yes, it does need attention. There's actually about 1 in 20 people that have problems. Yeah, quite a bit.
Wow.
With hoarding.
Interesting.
So, and even animal hoarding is a different category.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Fernandez, thank you so much. She's a psychotherapist here in the Kansas City.
Well, clutter doesn't just make a mess of your home. It can really also mess up your health.
Yeah, clutter is one of the top sources of stress in our lives and can lead to issues like heart disease.
Andrew Mellon is a productivity expert, author of Unstuff Your Life. I have a lot of stuff to unstuff. We're so happy to have him joining us today. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Andrew, let's jump right in. Clutter is bad for the brain, but why?
Well, because research shows us that disorganization and clutter have a cumulative effect on the brains. And so the brain likes order. It's constantly struggling to create order out of chaos. And the more we overload it, the more it has to work. And that just creates stress, which then goes far beyond the brain into all of the other organs, the rest of the body. It just it snowballs into creating all kinds of complications.
So, Andrew, the idea of getting organized can be a little bit overwhelming for people. So how do you sort through stuff?
Right. Well, everything begins with the organizational triangle. One home for everything, like with like, and something in, something out. One home for everything means everything has one home, only one home. So where you keep your keys can be different from where I keep my keys, but your keys have a home, my keys have a home. Like with like means all like objects live together, not most of them. So we don't keep most of the tools in the toolbox, but keep the Phillips head screwdriver in the junk drawer. We like all things to be together and one home for everything, and that's how we get organized. Something in, something out is how we stay organized. And so the easiest thing to do is group all your things like with like, and then and only then do you start to drill down and make decisions about what's going to stay and what's going to go. Once you've done that, then you can start to containerize it and find the home for it. But often where people get stuck is they're trying to make one-off decisions like, should I keep this sweater? It's harder to make that decision isolated, but if you bring all your sweaters together, it's easier to say, oh, well, of all the sweaters, I don't love this one as much as I love this one.
You know, I remember I read your book years and years ago, and I've always kind of stuck with it, and I realized, like, this really makes – it's a huge thing to unstuff everything, right? So let's talk about it, though, because it's not always easy. Do you have tips on knowing when to keep something, especially if there's that emotional attachment to it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. All of the work that I do with, whether they're students, they're private clients, when I'm teaching or speaking, it all begins with your core values. It's important to know what is important to you, not urgent, but important, so you can leverage those core values when you're making your decisions. And you want to focus on your long-term happiness rather than your short-term comfort, because the comfort is fleeting. You will forget what made you uncomfortable today, tomorrow. And then you want to ask yourself, does this make your life more comfortable, convenient, or beautiful? You know Marie Kondo. We all know Marie Kondo, and she talks about does it spark joy, but I think if we can expand even beyond that into comfort, convenience, and beauty, it kind of rounds out the experience for us. And then you can always ask yourself, would I buy this today? Yes or no? And lastly, if there were a fire, God forbid, would it be the first, second, or third thing that you would grab before you run out the door? And if the answer is no, then it suddenly ceases to have the urgency or the immediacy that it does in the vacuum of, should I keep this thing by itself?
Good. Andrew, what are your thoughts on, you know, those things you have an emotional attachment to, kind of repurposing them?
Yeah, well, I mean, in my world, I really think that landfill is the last place anything should go. So, I mean, we want to be good environmental stewards, and anything that we can repurpose, we can reuse, we can recycle, all of those are better choices before something ends up in the trash. And you want to think about the story. I like to say all the time, right, other than an American Girl doll, nothing arrives with a story. We bring the story to it. Mm-hmm. So we want to get really clear on, is it a good story? Is it a story in which we're the hero? Or is it a story in which we're the victim? Because often when we are keeping score, we're trying to figure out should something stay or should it go, we're making our decisions based on trying to avoid guilt or shame or discomfort in some way, rather than glass half full mindset being, does this make my life more comfortable? Does it add value? Does it spark joy, or does it make me happy when I'm around it, as opposed to, you know, the sweater, the one nice sweater your jerky ex-boyfriend got you that you don't want to let go of because it was expensive, but every time you go to put it on, you're reminded of him and it's not a happy memory.
I got rid of those a long
Cut
time
it up.
Ago. All right.
Okay, so those are lots and lots of tips about why clutter affects your health, your emotions, and so forth. My personal experience, I had a house cleaning business for over 10 years. And most of the houses I was in were huge. They were big houses, bigger houses. And I would say all of those houses had a tendency to be hoarders or clutterers, because the size of the house allowed them to put more stuff in there. But if that house were reduced to, say, 160 square feet, you wouldn't be able to move in that house. So the size of the house determines how much stuff people are going to put in it. I'm of the opinion that people buy big houses so they can put their stuff in there. And it just amazes me as I walk through people's neighborhoods, when they open their garages, you can't get in them because of the stuff. So people are using their garages to store their stuff, right? And the neighborhood that I live in, as I said earlier, if you just joined us, there's a house that I called the hoarder house because their stuff was all over the yard, and they recently sold that house for tax delinquency. So now the new owner put all the stuff that was in the garage and in the house out on the yard. It just grieves me when I see that because I am a minimalist. And I realize the value of having a house that has space where there's energy flowing throughout the house and not stuff taking up that energy. And that's really the key key problem with hoarding and clutter, is that you're taking away energy that can be utilized or beneficial for your enjoyment, your breathing, and so much more. And the other thing, before we go to the commercial, is they mention how relationships, how it affects relationships. And for me, I tend to stay away from houses and people who have the idea that they have to keep buying things from the thrift store and their house is already full of things and they don't want to make any adjustments to clear out the things that they keep bringing into the house. So as you can hear, it really is a mental issue and a thought problem where you don't consider yourself a hoarder or a clutterer, you're a non-relinquisher. You're just having trouble getting rid of, giving up, detaching from things that you have value, comfort, or that you think are beautiful. But when it affects relationships, as Nelson shared with he and his brother, cannot even have a healthy relationship because of the clutter hoarding problem, then that's when I really think it's time for you to get help. So we're going to take a break, and we have a couple of callers who press one. We'll come back to you after this break. And we want to hear from you if you're struggling with this. And then I have one more audio about the top 10 things that you should declutter. Top 10 things, just to help us organize. What do I get rid of first? What do I relinquish first to have a healthier mind and body? So we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Thank you.
And we're going to go to the phones. And one of the things I used to observe in the houses that I clean was the amount of dust, of course, on items that are just sitting there not being used. And that's another thing for people to recognize. If you have a lot of dust accumulating on things in your house because they're not being used, that's kind of a sign that maybe you need to get rid of it or move it somewhere else, because the dust is settling there because it has no use in the house. So think about looking around in your house. What continually is collecting dust in your house? That's a sign that those things probably are not useful for you and are maybe contributing to health issues. So let's go to the phones. We've got 706-202. I believe that's Kwame Sunhorse. Your mic's open. Welcome. Are you there? Are you there? Hello? Check your mute button. 706-202. Your mic is open. Okay, no sound. I'm not hearing you. Is it me or you? Okay, let me. Okay, I'll come back to 706-202. I've got another caller. 773-960. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning. This is Kofi James.
Good morning, Kofi James. How are you?
I'm good.
Can you speak up?
I'm good. I said I'm good. Out here creating terms, and is that better?
Yes, that's better. Thank you.
Yeah, I created an acronym about 3 months ago that went viral, and it's called B1. And everybody's all over YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. They're all saying B1, B1. And I said that because I'm always talking about nature, and I said B1 with nature.
Yes, that's the word.
Yeah, because, you know, we all are right now, there's a big challenge going on to, you know, help the next person. You know, we all got problems.
If they want the help.
Huh?
No.
I'm saying that's fine, but I don't get caught up in that trying to help the world. I help myself, and I share a part of me to help somebody else. Because
yeah.
No one really has problems. If a person has a whole bunch of, I used to have a friend, he had a whole bunch of things in his house. And he said, man, my girl called me a clutter. She didn't want to be with me no more. He lost the relationship because he was cluttered. And I said, bro, you don't have a cluttering problem. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you got a store here. This is a store. You collect the stuff that you don't even understand. You got your own thrift store.
Yeah.
I made him look at it a different way.
Right, right.
And I go, let's sell some stuff and let's give some stuff away. I didn't say throw things out. If I said throw things away, he'd get mad at me. Man, I ain't throwing away this stuff. I need this money. I said, no. Why don't you sell it or give some things away? And so at that time, he thought about it. He's like, man, that's a different way of looking at it. I thought I had a problem. I said, no, the world is going to call it a problem because that's just what the world do. Label everybody got problems. No one has a problem because the opposite of problem is a solution, right?
Okay.
So if I give you a solution, do you have a problem anymore? No. Common sense. So he started saying, well, my neighbor can use this, and my friend been asking for this, and I can give this to the kids. I can give up, you know, like a garage sort of stuff. And you know, when he end up, after 15 or 20 minutes of thinking about what he wants to do with the stuff, you know what he said? Man, I'm going to put it all out there in the street and let people get it.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, and that, you know, when you're ready to move from one place to another, that's when you become frustrated enough to put it all out in the street and get rid of it because you don't want to move all that stuff. So that, you know, thank you, Koofy, for being
I let him know he didn't have a problem.
Right,
I said, now what you want to do, you ask the question, what do you keep? I said, this is what you do. After you say it, I'll just put all on the street. I said, no, this is what I want you to do. Take a few items right now of what you want to keep and put it over there. Put it in that room. And so he said, well, I want that. I need this. I need this piece. I want to get my paint stuff. You know, he wanted stuff that he can actually use. He was a carpenter. So he used all, he took all his tools. He said, now everything else can go. So he took the things that require his gift and threw away everything else. So maybe that'll help.
And that's a great start, Koofy, because you want to try and be very optimistic when you're looking at friends who have a lot of things they've collected. You are doing the right thing by being optimistic with them and trying to help them plan how to move to the next step in their relationship with their things, because that's really what it's about, Koofy, is people have a relationship with things more than they do with people. And you are opening up the door to him, for him to have a relationship with you by being, number one, optimistic. Let's look at how we can let go of some of these things and maybe make a profit or do this or do that. That is such a great idea on how to develop, number one, a relationship with someone who appears to have too many things in their environment. And then number two, helping them decide how to open up the space to create more energy. I'm going to go to another caller. I'll come back to you if you want. Let's see. I think Kwame's back. Kwame Sunhorse, your mic is open again.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Thank you, and I apologize. I don't know, there was something wrong with the phone. I called back in. But
okay.
I'm hearing you talk about hoarding, right?
Right.
Would you say Trump is a hoarder?
I don't know Trump well enough to. I don't. From
well,
I guess
I'm,
you.
I'm not. We're looking at defining things. If a person hoards money, that's a form of hoarding. What does a person need with billions of dollars and you have homeless people and you began to hoard things that, yeah, it's putting into the system, but the part of it is being able to allow people to have equal housing, equal that. And it's looking at, we look at a person's house, but you look at people that is their main focus, is that how much more money can I get? And the part of it is there's no Brinks truck in a funeral procession. And yes, generational wealth can be passed down and distributed, or philanthropists give money to help other peoples and foundations. So what we're looking at is how do we look at hoarding in a sense that, yeah, traumatized, because I believe that, you know, a narcissistic person has a mental issue also. And certain things that motivate people to go and continuously seek wealth which is wealth is good, but the other part of it is like Kofi was sharing with his friend. Part is being able to say, okay, I need to share this with other people, because mm-hmm. you can only accumulate so much money. And the part of it is that that's a form of hoarding, just
okay.
like OCD.
Yeah.
A person with OCD is constantly cleaning. And the thing about dust is, it's two things. It's soil, dirt blows in the air and creates dust. But we get ashy, and from our own skin accumulates the dust in your house.
Yeah, so we're looking at a rabbit hole here. You're bringing up, to me, a rabbit hole issue, because our society advertises all day, every day, that we need more things and stuff. And people on social media are all about making money so they can buy more things and stuff. And then you've got people like Beyonce, you've got popular entertainers who promote that you need more hair, for one. That's the one of me, the biggest advertising going on is that women need more hair. And so then you're looking at the thing, the material goods, that we need a bigger car, we need a bigger house. And that's where it all starts. That's kind of the root motivating factor for a lot of people, is that, well, I've got to look better, cause, so I need more hair. And I have to have a new dining room set that's going to just sit there and not even be used. I remember in my dad's house, he had a big house, and his wife had this beautiful dining room set that was used for storage. She had all kind of crap on top of it, and it just became another place for her to keep her stuff. So the idea was for her is, I've got to keep up with the Joneses, because her whole house was always about, well, I'm going to remodel this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And she was always remodeling because she didn't take care of it. And I would go there and reorganize her pantry every time I was there, and it would go right back to the clutter before I came. So, yeah, you make a good point. Is how are people using their money, first of all? They're hoarding and coveting more money, especially on social media, because they're looking at all the advertisements that say, I need more things and stuff in my life. So
and
how do you get to that?
It's a system, and that's what I'm sharing, is that there's a system set up to where the person that is advertising that hair, that beauty product, that food, they're looking at, how can I accumulate more money? How can I constantly keep people giving me their wealth? You see, it's a business in which people are given opportunities to consume, because
yeah,
the advertisement and thinking the world is supposed to be this way, and you come into nature, when it overgrows, it turns around and it will die out and it will clear itself. And so what we're seeing is that we are out of order as human beings. You don't see animals hoarding. You see people, human beings, hoarding.
Yeah, and it's up to us to be caretakers of Mother Earth. Even in my yard here, I have to go out and trim the vines that start growing all over my bushes. There's a vine next door that keeps growing over into my yard. And so if I didn't go out there and trim that vine, it would take over that bush. So even in nature, there needs to be some trimming and letting go of things and cutting and trimming.
It has its order, because we're going into the fall. What does all of the trees and the plants do come winter? They die.
Yeah.
They clear the area.
Yeah, except for Florida. I think Florida just keeps growing and going on. A whole lot of things don't die in Florida unless we get a frost. So we in Florida, I believe, have to have more control over our stuff, our yard, our nature, because it just keeps growing. We
have
so much rain that the plants just keep growing and growing. You have to go out there and control them.
But what we've done is that we condensed their growing rate. We encroached upon nature, and we built in places and removed all of this, and now it's trying. It's just like you walking down the street and see a flower growing between the cracks in the sidewalk. It's going to try to find a place to be back to where it was originally.
Right, right. And so the issue becomes being more mindful of the advertising influences that are out there, for one, that are telling you you need more when really you just want more. That I saw a phrase about knowing the difference between your needs and wants, and that is what we struggle with. We struggle with that because here I have overcome the need or want for a big house. I had a big house while I was married with a pool and a two-car garage. And so I'm done with that need, want, whatever you want to call it. Because at some point it was a need because we had two children and two people and we had friends coming over and all that. So at some point it was a need, but then it was always a want because if you watch enough movies and television, the media tells you you need these things versus want. Now I'm in a 320 square house. And I don't need anything. I really don't need anything. My son and his girlfriend have been trying to get a little fence to keep me cool all year. And then I don't really need that. I'm cool with my fan, my ceiling fan. I can sweat a little bit. But I don't need a lot. But what do – and I don't want
can
a
I,
lot.
Can I share something with you? And I'm just quickly read this. There are many things that block us from wisdom, such as selfishness, secrets, hate, anger, jealousy, and judgment.
Yep. Yep.
Another thing can block us from wisdom is trying too hard wishing for something would happen. Wishing implies doubt, and trying implies control. We need to let go of these things. We need to abandon ourselves to the Creator as soon as we surrender everything. The wisdom starts to flow. And the elders know how to help us with just asking them. And that's what we're doing. And that's what we're talking about. How do we gain the Creator's wisdom in all of these things that are blocking us? Because all of that we are talking about, the consumerism, the greed, the gluttony, the need to have, is a way in which puts us a division between the human and their Creator. That's why nature has an order. Man is out of order.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. And so really the solution to the clutter hoarding issue challenge is to get out to nature. Once you spend more time, like Kwame suggesting, in nature, majority of your time in nature, then you don't really see a need to clutter a house. You realize how freeing it is to be in nature, that you stop paying attention to advertisers trying to tell you what you need and want and then causing more harm than good, that you're stuffing your space with things that are only collecting dust. Thank you so much, Kwame. We've got another caller, 773-571. Your mic is open.
Good morning, Grand Rising. Peace and blessings. This is Mr. Cynthia Marie Williams. It's a great topic, great topic. And I will raise my hand and confess I am, what I say, a pack rat. And I could have been a whore, but my daughter that I birthed into the world, she got older, she was better than I was. And I'm serious. She had our own bedroom, okay? And she went in there and pulled everything I would use, a little girl. When she 8, 9 years old. And I mean, the place had clothes everywhere. And I told her, I said, I'm not going to clean this up. You're going to clean this up. And it must have been the right time and the right moment, because I let her go to sleep in there with all those clothes and everything. And I just let her go to sleep. That was her bedroom now. You sleep with all these clothes. And what she did was, it shocked her, and she started cleaning up, and then I started helping her. But let me tell you, I was a pack rat. And when she got older, she was able to go into my little corner of my room and clean it out. on her own. She said, Mama, you don't need this. I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to say this. I want to say this. But what I say to all of you, it's a psychological issue. And as a person who's got this psychology stuff when I went to school, I found out that Freud's nephew in the 20s came over to the United States, wrote a book, and what that did was started the marketing and advertising history of this country in order for one company who took his ideas and used it. And I bet you can't guess which company that was. We're talking about 20s now. Can anybody guess what company that was that used marketing and advertising to produce a product and they did psychological background in order to promote their product? Can anybody guess what it was?
Pillsbury, taking a guess, Pillsbury.
Huh? It's a good question. What company?
Pillsbury.
In the 20s. Think about it.
Oh, the 20s. Oh, that's a good one. Ford
in
Motor Company.
Ford nephew wrote a book on mind control, just updated to that level. But he came over here and presented that information to a big company. Not a big, well, it was a company, and they took the idea. Let me start with New York. The first location was New York. It's a good question. Can anybody think of what company that was in the 20s where Freud's nephew came over here and presented a psychological issue and that started the marketing and advertising history of this country? Can anybody think of it? 20s now. Think about the 20s.
I don't have any hands. You have to tell us.
And we started in New York. Come on. Good question. Come on.
Okay. I don't have any hands. You'll have to tell us.
I'm going to tell you, okay, now you're going to be really not only shocked but surprised. It was the cigarette company.
Oh,
what they
course.
Did in New York, what they did when he wrote that book about how you can get people to buy things, become, as we say, consumers. He taught them that book, and they used his thoughts and ideas. It was the cigarette company. And what they would do in the 20s. Remember, they talked about flappers. These are women that dance, you know, and the clothes that they wore. Everybody think about documentaries about the 20s. And what they did in Manhattan, the cigarette companies started using these thoughts and out of thought to get people to become, to buy things that they don't really need or want. So what they would do would have the women, pretty women, go down to Manhattan and start smoking cigarettes. Come on now. Cigarettes. Then later on in their research, they start putting in nicotine and things that would make people addicted to help enhance their product.
Well, and
so
how
marketing
would...
and advertising is about the psychological issues that we have when we grow up from children. Example, raise my hand. I was a fact of that. Why was I holding on to things? Because I had a traumatic issue that happened to me when I was a little girl. My grandfather bought me a record player. We're talking about back in the 50s. And my father was very jealous of my grandfather. Because he was trying to, do things for the children. My father was jealous because he wanted to be the control person. So what he did when we got ready to move, he moved my record player away. I asked my mother, I was about 11 years old, 11, 12. I said, Mom, I said, where's my record player that grandpapa bought me? And she said, I don't know. I went outside and I told my father, I said, where's my record player? He grinned with his mean self, and he said, well, we're not going to take that with us. It hurt my heart so bad. I started crying, not in front of him, but I went away and we just went by myself. It hurt me. So after that, I got the tendency to hold on to things.
Yes,
and you got people that do things on back clothes, and they don't even wear all this hoarding, all this pragmatic, because something traumatic happened to them when they were children, when they felt they had to hold on to things. But also, the advertisers in that book, which I'm mentioning, you can't hardly find it anymore, because it was written way back in the 20s. Remember, this was Freud's nephew. And they knew also that if they could keep doing the job, just saying, pressing, showing things that were dream things that people would buy and consume, keep repeating it over. Just as a teacher, how do you teach? You repetition. You help the little young kindergartners learn how to remember things. You use symbols. You use examples. You take the letter H and make it a chair. You understand what I'm saying? You show them symbolism so that you can feed their mind with examples of how it works. The alphabet. You sing songs in order for them to learn the alphabet. You have ABCs all around the room. So this is the alphabet. What is this? This is an A. This is a B as a former teacher. But that's what I'm saying to all of you, that it's a psychological thing when people hoard. But if you can, kind of just keep it simple and help them to understand, first of all, why do you do that? And I've looked at that show about hoarding. But see, I understand it. Because I could have been a hoarder. I was a pack rat. I was starting at that level. But because of my daughter.
Listen, we've got.
I had trained not to do that. She is so clean now.
We've
got to throw things away.
Minister Cynthia, we've got to go to a break. I think you really brought it home for us and summarized it with your own personal experience, where something that was near and dear to you, especially given to you by someone you love, and when it's taken away, you have an emotional attachment to things because of that event. So that is what we're talking about. The trauma that people experience in their young life is what causes them to be attached to things in their older life. And thank goodness for daughters. Thank you for daughters. Thank heaven for daughters who are brought to you.
I'm telling you, it really has. Oh my God.
Yeah. So we got to take a break.
I get so nervous. Oh, no. I want to keep that.
I know.
I'm not like that anymore. Just a little bit. I have to learn.
We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back. And when we come back, I'm going to play for you 10 things, the top 10 things that you need to be decluttering to start off your freedom journey of no more wanting and needing things that are not going to serve you in this next journey.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Giving you some information, knowledge, wisdom, motivation to start declutter and recognize if you're a hoarder or not and how you can heal that situation, because it is affecting your health and your environment and relationships more than anything. And tomorrow, by the way, I believe it's Retreat Saturday for us. Here on The Female Solution, we are promoting every second Saturday a retreat from, I believe this Saturday is going to be a retreat from cheating or something. Zelda, if you're listening, if you want to call in and let us know, or Naima, what tomorrow's topic will be, I'll open up your mic. But I want to play one more helpful tip for you, the top 10 things to start decluttering. This has had over 1 million views on YouTube, and I think it's very helpful when you're wondering, well, where do I start? Here's where you start. Make a list of the top 10 things you should look at in your environment, and it's time to say bye-bye, adios, good riddance, and start out fresh with more energy and space in your house. Here we go.
This is an entire channel based to an important premise, that the less we own, the more we can focus our lives on things that matter most. With that as the backdrop, here are 10 things that you can declutter right now. Number one, expired food. I don't know if you're anything like me, if you're anything like my parents, but there's a good chance you have expired cans of food, expired spices, expired condiments. Find them, get rid of them. If there are things that you use, replace with fresher items. Your cooking will be better anyway. Number two, clothes you don't wear. I'm not talking about making hard decisions about clothes that you think you wear a lot or you might wear right around the corner, But most people have items in their closet, they have items in their drawers, they have items on their shelves, they have extra coats and purses and shoes and things they just stopped wearing. Move them on, free up the space. Number three, puzzles and games that are missing pieces or that you stopped playing decades ago. Easy things that you can remove and get rid of. You've known that you need to go through that closet or those shelves anyway. Just make the decision, get rid of those things, and move on with your life. Number four, old electronics, cables, and cords. Technology changes quickly. Electronics that you used 6, 7, 8 years ago are now obsolete. You've replaced them with a better phone or a better camera or a better computer. There's no sense holding on to those old things. Same with cables and cords. They've changed. The company has changed what you need to charge your phone. Just get rid of the old ones. You can take them to Goodwill. You can recycle those electronics at places like Best Buy or Office Depot. You can just call ahead. Most of those places will help you recycle those old electronics. Number five, duplicate cookware. How many bowls of Tupperware and unmatching lids do you need? How many coffee mugs do you need? How many spatulas do you need? We tend to just hold on to all these things, and we don't recognize that we've stopped using many of the items, and we just use the exact same favorite ones over and over and over again. Get rid of the duplicates. Free up space in your kitchen. Cooking will become a lot more fun. Number six, old linens. Bed sheets, pillowcases, towels, sometimes even cleaning rags that we used. We had old towels, they wore out, so we bought new ones, and for some reason we held on to the old ones, even though we have no intention of ever using them again. There are a whole bunch of animal shelters in your area that could use those linens. You could free up the space in your closet, and they could find some of the essential supplies that they need to do the work that they do. Number seven, luggage. Luggage takes up a lot of space in our basements, in our attics, in our closets. Get rid of the luggage that you don't need. Maybe your family has changed sizes. Maybe you've replaced the old ones. Maybe you just don't travel as much as you used to. Get rid of the luggage. Number eight, boxes. If you move often, you might want to hold on to some boxes that fold easily. But a lot of people get in the habit of holding on to boxes from the items that they buy, whether they think they're going to have to take it back right away, or they think that if they ever do move, they need to have the exact fitting box for this any given item that it might be. And these boxes tend to not shut down very easily. They tend to take up a lot of space. Keep the moving boxes if you need to, but get rid of a lot of those product boxes that you're holding on to. Number nine, unused personal care or personal hygiene products. Take a look at your bathroom cabinet, your medicine chest, expired medicine, expired makeup or cosmetics that you no longer use, that big supply of hotel shampoo samples that you brought home with you. Free up your bathroom. Free up that space and declutter unused personal care products. And number 10, books you don't intend to read again. Books can be difficult for people. We can become emotionally attached to some. There are some books that we refer back to over and over again, but most people have plenty of books on their shelves that they don't intend to read again. They read it once, or they never read it, or someone gave it to them. Take those books, you can take them to Goodwill, you can donate them to a local library where they can sell them or lend them out. But either way, there's probably someone who wants to read those books. Once you remove them from your home, they can move on to someone else. The less stuff we own, the more we're able to focus our lives on things that matter most. And once we get started decluttering, the easier it is to find new places and more things to get rid of. These are 10 items that you can declutter right now and get started.
Wow, I think that was just the best list on where to get started. And the sad thing, as he mentioned at the end, so you can focus on things that matter, is that people who have been used to listening to the advertisers about, I need this, I need that, instead of I want that, they forget what matters most. And so today is just a reminder to think about what matters most in your life, your things or relationships. And if you really value relationships, you'll start getting rid of the things. I'm going to open up the mic. I believe Naima has pressed 1. 312721, your mic is open.
Yes, Grand Rising. And thank you all for everybody who participated in this. Gave their testimony. I'm in the process of decluttering right now. I wanted to let you all know what's happening this Saturday. You know, we've been doing the series on cheating. And so this Saturday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern is our cheat retreat. And we're inviting couples in who or individuals who are struggling with overcoming feelings of anger. If their spouse or, you know, committed partner has stepped outside the relationship, how to handle the emotions of that, what is the appropriate response and emotion to that so one is not steeped in low self-esteem, and also to really take a different perspective on relationships so that we are not carrying anger and vengeance if, in fact, the relationship does separate. And if we choose to forgive, how to truly forgive and let it go. So we'll talk about all of those aspects in our cheat retreat. Also, I wanted to remind our listeners that Saturday is the celebration of life for Minister Cynthia's husband, her dearly departed spouse, Michael Williams. And that will be held at 2 o'clock right after the show. We'll have that, and I will have that also for those who are outside of Chicagoland area, outside of Chicago. They will be able to see it on my Facebook page. And we'll also share it on the Female Solution Facebook page as well and YouTube channel. And if you are in the area, I believe it's at 86 and Stony Island, and maybe if Minister Cynthia is still on, I'm looking for the name of the funeral home where it will be held. So 2 to 3 for the funeral. And repast will be held at a private location, you know, for those who are close friends and family, they'll be attending that. But we're looking forward to a wonderful celebration of life. And
okay, and Minister, Mike, your mic is open. Do you have more information for us?
Yes, I would like to share thanks to all of you who have been a part of my soul journey. All of you, Dr. Kwame, just meeting you, Koofy, everyone, Naima, Viasa. Part of my coming here is to be a part of Female Solution. I know this, and I became very much aware of my soul journey coming from the other side. But my husband, Michael, a beautiful, beautiful soul. One of the things, and I have shared this as a spiritual information from my own soul journey. I have a degree in psychology and sociology. But here's the thing. My professor wanted me to get a PhD, but in my meditation and understanding that I am more than the flesh, more than the secular education that we get, I said no, because I did not want to become institutionalized to the world's concept of the mind and how it works. Spirituality has to be a part of it. If you have to be successful in helping people to heal mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, that's what we're about as a Female Solution, helping each other understand and help others understand. But here's my point. I got to finish up with the issue of the advertising and marketing that started in the 20s. Because of the depression, and there was much lack going on, and company presidents were killing themselves because of the depression. Well, after that, the cigarette companies used that the need to have, because people had been through a horrible time of lack. They used that as a mind issue. They helped them, and that's what Ford Step used. Make them aware of how to get consumers. Millions of consumers get from the bad things they don't really need because of the lack and depression that they went through. And it seemed to work, and they did add the toxin to keep us addicted. But that was the whole point. But for me, just like what that gentleman said, was a 10 way to stop partying, it has to start with the mind, the psychological issues that people have gone through that make them want to hoard and keep things. And one more thing, and I'm done. The 80s was a beautiful time in this country. Everybody was writing books about self-development, how to be your own best friend, interdependency, dependency, codependency, all these books and things were out in the 80s, fabulous. They helped people to learn how to come out of these different psychological issues and make a breakthrough in buying products like the cigarette companies started getting in trouble because they were advertising that was being jingled so children would see them. My daughter did that to me. As we don't smoke, and I'd be smoking cigarettes, I started feeling guilty about smoking cigarettes, even though I had the nicotine. They had the nicotine in it. But we now today are much more advanced in so many ways, like you, Viasa. You teach health, physical health, emotional health, like in clothing. All of us goofies who understand we need to move away from what the world is trying to get us to consume and be like. Food also.
Yes. All
we
right.
learn how to look at things because of our soul journey. So I want to say my memorial celebration for my husband will be at Doty Nash, D-O-T-Y Nash. 8620 South Stony Island, here in Chicago, 2:00 p.m. I would love for those who can come to come. And there will be a private repast because of the issue of the abundance. And that's another thing we need to talk about, abundance. And what Jesus, example of Jesus, how we can bring forth from the invisible to the visible those things that we need. There has to be balance, and I learned balance over the years as I dealt with my own self-development and really realizing how to let go.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Minister Center. We send lots of love and compassion and comfort for you for this weekend and for the following days as you write a new chapter in your life. So we got one more caller. We're going to squeeze in 312-671. Your mic is open. Welcome. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And are you struggling with hoarding and cluttering right now?
Hallelujah. We are in Yashalom, Grand Rising, and Assalamu Alaikum. And you have my condolences. This is Minister Plump, Sister Cynthia. Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, and I'm looking forward if the God say thy will be done. I know that your husband did well to have nourished you a number of years. So as they say, we don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful with black power all the time. And Dr. V, thank you so much for today. I am, yes, guilty. I have to laugh at myself, but thank you. I'm gonna make improvement and get rid of the hollering, in my location, because
Yay.
It's not healthy. And I'm thankful that now I can be happy, be healthy, be wealthy, and be wise, and share the good news, as Yahshua, who most knows Jesus Christ, say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And you have to start with the most important person in the living, and that is you. You plus we That's a reflection of spiritual reality. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you all this Saturday from 2 to 5 at Doty's Funeral Home.
Thank you, Mr. Plump. And one more time, the top 10 items that you should start getting rid of. Number 1, expired food. Number 2, clothes you don't wear. Look in that closet. My stepmother used to tell me, if you haven't worn something for a whole year, out it goes at the end of the year. Go to the thrift store. There's so many there's so many clothes at thrift stores that have never even been worn. Go take those clothes to the thrift store if you need more, get some more. But let's just get rid of clothes you don't wear at least for a year. Puzzles and games. Oh, my goodness. Get rid of them. Old electronics, cables, cords, take them to Best Buy somewhere where they can recycle them. Duplicate cookware. How many times? I have people who live alone and they got 12 forks in their drawers, 12 knives. You're not going to have a party. Get rid of them. Forget the party idea. Oh, I might have a party. No, you're not. You don't need, if you live alone, let's just say 3 forks are good enough unless you are one who entertains frequently. Okay. Duplicate cookware, old linens. I thought that was a great idea. Take them to a veterinary shop, a pet store, any place where animals are being treated or taken care of. They might need those old linens, but you don't need them in your closet. Luggage. How many of us have old luggage? I have 3 pieces of luggage. That's all I need. I probably could get rid of one, but I do use some of them for my weekend trips that I take. Boxes, all those boxes that you receive goods in and you're trying to save them, wondering if you'll send things back. No, get rid of them. There's plenty of boxes out there that can be used. Unused personal care, all those little hotel shampoos you really haven't used, you're not going to use, get rid of them. And finally, books that you're not reading. That was a hard one for me, but I gave them, I had a garage sale. And I got rid of most of my books at the garage sale. So time to let go of them if they're cluttering your space. This has been useful and helpful for you to start thinking about whether you need to clean up
the
environment inside and out.
Because it's
also time to be
stocked
inside as well.
The
winter months are coming. And it's
female.
By the way, full moon. I believe
the
full moon is coming tonight. So that's
going to
be stirring up the water inside of you. So let's get busy. Let's get busy doing what we know we need to do.
And so you can do what we want to do. That's www.naimhlaif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
Thank you.
To our family in China, Xiexie.
Xiexie.
India, Zanyaba.
Zanyaba.
Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeonkujung. France, Merci.
Merci.
Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.